going to begin reading with verse 1. And that's chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached for Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in holes until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John the Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love, and allowing us once again to come together here as a New Testament Baptist church. We're thankful for each one present. You know the heart and the needs of every person here. You know each of our needs. We know that only you're able to supply those needs according to your riches. We think especially about those that are here that are not saved. We pray this morning, Lord, that it might please you to work mightily in the midst of this group of people. May we know of the manifestation of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And may we see with our eyes the things that you do in our midst this morning, especially in the hearts of those that are lost. We know that you are the great physician, not only able to heal the physical body, but able to heal the sick soul. And we pray this morning, Father, that you might be pleased to work mightily, and that there might be the experiencing of grace that would come in those that need to be saved. We thank thee for letting us come this far and bringing us this time, for this good opportunity and the freedom that we have to come together to praise you by song and in praise and for the preaching of your word. And we pray that we not take this for granted. We're thankful for this great liberty that you give us. Now I pray that you would guide, direct, and lead, and forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. This passage of scripture here, of course, is talking about Peter and John. There has been the healing of the impotent man. And any time that God works in any way, there are always those that do not agree with or do not like, and especially if they believe that it is of God. I thought about this morning as the preaching of the Word, the results of the preaching of the Word here in Acts chapter 4. A verse that really stuck with me is verse 4. It said, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm confident today that there are those here that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that are saved by the grace of God. And that was brought about by the Holy Spirit enabling you to hear the Word of God and enabling you to believe. But I'm also confident this morning that there are those here that are not saved. Now, I'm concerned for you. I believe that this church in the main is concerned for you, not to the point that we would embarrass you or pressure you in any way, but we pray that as we come together in our services and the Word of God is preached, that it may please God to enable you to hear the Word first and then to receive the Word of God, believing and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But now, you look here at what happened. It said, "Howbeit many." I'd say it was a big many. Or it said, "And the number of the men was about 5,000. That's a great big many, isn't it? 5,000 people. People say, well, they are always looking for a Pentecost experience. Well, since that time or that day, there is no record in the Word of God where there was that many saved. We have the 3,000 and 5,000, and God was working in a miraculous way there in Jerusalem. And since that time, you do, and you read on where that others did believe, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believe, you read in several places pertaining to that. But yet I believe today there are still people that are being saved by the grace of God. Now there are people that need to be saved by the grace of God even here this morning. And our concern is basically for you that through the preaching of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will enable you to receive and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." Now Peter goes on and Peter preaches a pretty stout, strong message to them. He really shells the corner, puts it out there just exactly where it is, and he tells them point blank that it was because of them and their sin that Jesus was crucified at Calvary. I believe that can be said of everybody that's been saved by the grace of God. Amen. It was because of my sin, and it was because of your sin, that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and was crucified and gave his life that we might have life. But he made it very clear down in verse 12. Now, if you're looking for salvation, and some people are looking for salvation in some way other than God has designed for it to be, some people look for it in belonging to a church. Some people look for salvation by being what they would refer to or call being baptized. There are others that look for salvation in what they are able to do. In other words, something that they can do that would be acceptable to man and also would be acceptable to God. But Peter made it real clear here. And I think he made it real plain
in this passage of Scripture that there's only one way of salvation. Now, Jesus made this plain himself. When Jesus wrote there in that 14th chapter, or when he was speaking there in that 14th chapter of John, and he was talking to the disciples, and he said, you know, there in verse 6, he's talking about himself. He was talking about the way of salvation, the way of being saved. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father or goeth to the Father except by me, or except through me. In other words, Jesus was telling us that there's not salvation in baptism, that there's not salvation in church membership, that there's not salvation in some type of works, but the only place that there's this salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus very clearly and emphatically said that. And I would to God that you may come to that truth here this morning if you're not saved. And even if you leave this building, you can leave here knowing that there's salvation in nobody else but Jesus Christ. And He's the only way that you'll ever get to heaven, and He's the only way that you'll ever stand in the presence of Almighty God. And I believe this is basically what Peter preached here. And here's what he said in verse 12. Now, he just got through saying how they had crucified Christ. They said, he's the stone that you set at naught, that you all rejected. The very one that you needed to see, and the very one that you needed to receive, is the very one you crucified, and the very one that you rejected. And then he comes to this truth, basically like Jesus said himself here in verse 12. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. Now look at that. Neither is there salvation in any other. That just simply means there's not salvation anywhere but in this person of Jesus Christ. This person that you crucified, this person that you rejected. He said, I want you to understand that neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation. Salvation is no other place to be gained or to be received other than in Jesus Christ. Now look. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now salvation is in Jesus Christ, and salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's nobody else that has the name of Jesus Christ, or that is the Savior, but Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Now there's no substitute for the true what? No substitute. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and I'm not going to read that, but I'm just going to call to your mind. When Adam and Eve sinned, and then after that, and then you go on to chapter 4, and then there's the way of Cain, the way of Abel. And the way of Abel was God's way, and it was through a sacrifice which pictured or spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain's way was the way of man, and the way of mankind. Cain's way was doing it himself. But Abel's way was God's way. And God's way is not man's way. But God's way is in truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's been a problem ever since the fall there. And ever since, all the way through the Old Testament up to today, and people still today want to have a salvation man's way. But there is no salvation man's way. Salvation is only God's way. And I believe that that is through
the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what happens to people is what we studied earlier over there in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and therein verse 12. Two ways that run all the way through the Bible is the way of Cain and the way of Abel. Run from Genesis to Revelation. There are two ways that are prevalent today. Now, but the problem is the way of Cain is the way of death. But the way of Abel is the way of life. Now Proverbs 14:12 says this. And this is Cain, the way of Cain, the way of man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Isn't it a terrible thing for people that you know, and you know they're wrong, and you know they can never get to heaven by what they believe, but they believe they're right. And it seems right to them. And you can't convince them that they're wrong. You never will be able to convince them that they're wrong. The only person that will ever be able to convince them that they're wrong is God Himself and the person of Jesus Christ. Now look, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's sad, isn't it? It's sad for people to know so much, have such a head knowledge of the Word of God, but have never had a heart knowledge. Have never been brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you find people like this can almost put us to shame about what they know about the Bible. The reason for it is they're depending on that to get into heaven, and they drill and drill. I mean, they go, if it's necessary, they'll go every night of the week to church, or what they call church. But they'll go every night, and they'll drill and drill and drill, and yet it seems right to them, and they think they're right. You can't convince them that they're not right. But they think that's the way of salvation. Now what I believe is the devil deceives, and what we need to recognize is there's no substitute for the true one. Now if there was not but two verses in the Bible, and that's John 14:6, and here in Acts 4:12, that ought to be sufficient. But what you've got to realize and understand is the people that are going the way of Cain are blind. They're blind to, they can probably quote you or read to you what is said in Acts 4:12, or they could probably quote you what's said in John 14:6, but they're blind to what it really says. That is, that there's no substitute for the true way of salvation. Now, God designed it to be this way, and that's the way it is. It's not man's way at all. Probably every one of us, to a certain degree, before the Lord saved us, started out trying to, through the form of reformation or something, you know, to be a better person. No doubt to a degree that probably happened to all of us. But yet, we were in our sins. Now, the reason why that this is the way of salvation and that Jesus is the way and neither is there salvation in any other and there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved is because that God designed, first of all, that salvation of sinners is wholly of grace. There's no merit in salvation. It's wholly of grace. Grace is the unmeritable favor of God. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and I'm always mindful of what he says there in that second chapter. You know, when he starts off, he says, "And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And he talks about in times past you walked according to the lust of the flesh. And he goes on and names some things, how we walk, and then he goes on down to verse 5, and he says, "But even when we were dead in sins," but then he said, "But God who is rich in mercy," and then he goes on and makes this statement, and makes it very clear, "For by grace are you saved." And then he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now listen to this.
and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God designed that salvation would only be in Jesus Christ, and there would be salvation in none other, and none other name would there be salvation, because it would be wholly of grace. And aren't those scriptures clear? I mean, to me, they're just as plain as the knob on a door. Says, open the door, the doorknob. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Mm-hmm. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And I believe that we need to see that the way of salvation, and I believe if you're here, I thought about this passage of Scripture. Now, this is a passage of Scripture. You know, only lost people get saved. The Lord never did save anybody but a lost person. Never did. The big problem is, and the problem I had, and the problem people have is, they don't know they're lost. They don't have any idea that they are lost. They're lost and don't know it. To the degree, oh, they can know they're not saved, and they can know that they're not a member of the church, and they can know that they've never followed the Lord in Scripture baptism. They can know all of that as far as a head knowledge, but there's a lot of difference in knowing the result of being without the Lord Jesus Christ and dying without the Lord Jesus Christ and spending eternity in hell with Him. And the Lord brings you to the realization of that. Every bit of it. Matthew chapter 18. In verse 11, says this: the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Now, the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does it say the Son of Man? It's because that there's not any other way to God, and there's salvation. There's not salvation any other. And that's why that Jesus, the Son of Man, is come to save that which was lost. And I believe that we need to fully understand, and we need to recognize, and that's why that the gospel needs to be preached to every creature, and that's why that the name of Jesus needs to be preached to every creature, to every individual. Now, you know, after the Lord saves you, now I can think back, can't you? Think back to when you were not saved. I can think back to when the Lord saved me, and I've not always loved the Lord like I love Him now. There was a time that I didn't even love the Lord. I thought about the Apostle John and what he had to say about this, and listen to these words, and I believe that, you know, the world would depict today that everybody loves God. Would they not? Would they not say that? Listen to what he said here. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Now notice, not that we love God. We didn't love God. But He loved us and sent His Son. Now who is that He sent? Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation for our sins. What's He saying? He's saying neither is there salvation in any other. Well, there's none other heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that time and time again, we see that the way of salvation is only by Jesus Christ, because salvation of sinners is wholly of grace. It is not by the merit or anything that any person will ever do. The thing I believe that it's hard and you cannot get people to understand until God brings them to see this is that you're not saved by what you do or you're going to do. But you're saved because of what Jesus Christ has done And because of what Jesus Christ is doing. It's not that he has done something and it's all over. Jesus Christ at this present time, and I believe that we see the way of salvation, first of all, is salvation of sinners in the holy of grace, but I believe that we also need to see it is through of the mediatorial office of the Son of God. In other words, he's a go-between. He's a go-between us and God. This is the verse that is quoted and familiar that many have in their head and not in their heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then there's a go-between. In John chapter 1, if you'll notice with me there, in John chapter 1 and beginning right in verse 1, look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. I know in him was life. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And this is the way that it is. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. Through that light. John was not that light, it says in verse 8, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Think of it. He came unto his own received him not. Now think of what a terrible thing that you would imagine that's being said here. And it's the same way today. People don't recognize, they don't receive Jesus Christ of themselves, and they reject Jesus Christ of themselves. But notice, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now look, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see here that people just by heritage or by birth will not receive Jesus Christ. Just they, and people are not just with it of themselves to receive Jesus Christ. But it is the will of God. It is God that brings, and God reveals, and God shows. It's such a sad commentary. I've thought about this. You know, there's people that perhaps will sit time and time and time again under the preaching of God's Word and yet die and go to a devil's hell because they have rejected Jesus Christ and have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So we see that the way of salvation is only through Jesus Christ because, one, salvation is holy and great. Two, the mediatorial work of Jesus is in Jesus Christ and in not any other. But then thirdly, the Son of God, by appointment of the Father, freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin. He's the only one that's ever done that. He who was rich for our sakes became poor. In other words, this is what Paul was saying. He was in the portals of heaven with God the Father. And in that sense, in the riches of the glory of God. But he for our sakes became poor. What is it? He took on our nature. He didn't take on the nature of angels. Said that in Hebrew. He took on our nature. But then the Word of God says, yet without sin. There's no sin about it. I believe that when Paul was writing, this is the reason that the salvation is in none other than in Jesus Christ. When he was writing in the book of Philippians, and he said there in Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 6 and verse 7 of Philippians 2, listen to what Paul is writing and what did he do. who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now look at verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now look at this. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And brother, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And I believe that's the same thing that Peter is speaking of when he said there in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved. Now this is what Jesus did for his people. He was in the portals of heaven, and he came here, and he took on the likeness of sinful flesh. The book of Hebrews talks about this in chapter 2 of Hebrews. I'm really concerned about people that are not saved. I would that the Lord would burden all of our hearts. Our buildings, we have a host of people that are not saved here this morning. I hope. If you are saved, you ought to be praying. God would be pleased to take the word of God and to pierce the hearts if they're not saved. Sometimes what concerns me is without any doubt, there's probably those that profess to be saved and not saved. That's sad commentary too. But look what he says here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now look in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now we're talking about, this is why the way of salvation is by Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He also himself, likewise, took part of the same. In other words, he became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the death. But what I like about Jesus Christ, there's several things. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but yet without sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says this. He hath made him to be sin for us. But he said, who knew no sin? Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we see the Son of God, by appointment of the Father, freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin. And that's why that salvation can only be in the Son of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that came this way. But then another thing why that salvation can only be in him is because he honored the divine law by his personal obedience. And there's no one else that has ever done that. We're close to it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 says this. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Go back to the third chapter of Romans and look with me in verse 21 of that third chapter. And it says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the reason that their salvation cannot be in any other is because he honored the divine law by his own personal obedience. He came and fulfilled the law of God. But then another reason that there cannot be salvation in any other is because by his death he made atonement for our sins. Now, our sins have been atoned for, and they were atoned by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ
by the shedding of His blood.
Isaiah speaks of it in the 53rd chapter of our griefs and our sorrows and our transgressions. Isaiah talks about Him as a lamb that was led to the slaughter. Open not His mouth.
He took up on Him our sins.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 that He gave His life a ransom for many. In 1 Corinthians 15, when He's talking about the gospel, it says that Christ died for our sins.
So that's why that there cannot be and is not salvation in the other. But then, having risen from the dead, He is now enthroned in heaven. I believe that I'm still in Hebrews. I'm going to look at that first chapter. And notice with me there in verse 3. And this tells us. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Notice, when He had by Himself purged our sins,
sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high.
I believe that we need to fully recognize that there is salvation in none other but in Jesus Christ. One of the things that today that alarms me is the way that many people go about trying to, what they call, get people saved, and the many means and tactics and things that they use, and what they do many times is go about and have people to have a head knowledge of Christ, and there's never any heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe that another reason why that there is no other way is because that God has the way of uniting a person with the all-sufficient Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember back in some of my first days in the ministry, and I'm sort of ashamed of some of the things that I did. Not that I did anything wicked, but I'm talking about some of the means and methods that I used. And now I know how contrary they are to the Word of God. And then you wonder sometimes, I really wonder about people that profess to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can't never get them into baptism or pool. You can't never get them to church. I wonder about that kind of thing. You may never wonder about things, but listen to Hebrews 7:25. And we're talking about that there's only one way of salvation, that's in Jesus Christ. Wherefore, He is able also to save them the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. I believe if you'll go back to the second chapter now, and it doesn't stop there, but He ever liveth to make intercession. But in the second chapter of Hebrews and verse 18, it says, for that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. And I believe that that's His divine perfections, and I believe that He's the only one that's qualified to be a suitable, compassionate, and all-sufficient Savior. One that not only saves our soul, but one that is able to succor us and to comfort us and to take care of everything that comes in our life. That's the kind of Savior that we have. So no wonder Peter, when he wrote there in these verses. Now all that Peter preached, and 5,000 people were saved, is what you read in chapter 3 and chapter 4. That's all he preached. He didn't have as Brother King used to say, he didn't have a 1, the 2, the 3, the A, B, C, the D. He didn't have that. He just preached about Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 10, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Then he said in verse 12,
neither is there salvation in any other. And I want to emphatically go on record saying that there's not salvation in any other this morning. The only salvation is in Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved. Our salvation is by grace. He is our go-between. Jesus Christ is our grace. He is our go-between. He took our nature, yet without sin. He had personal obedience to the law of God. He made full atonement. He is enthroned in heaven. And He is our all-sufficient Savior. And there's no one else to compare with Him. Because there is no one else. And so today, I'm thankful that I know this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our desire that the Holy Spirit may work in the heart and the lives of those that are not saved. That He would enable you to realize the dilemma you're in, that you're lost, and enable you to realize the results of what it would be to be eternally not saved, and that is an eternal death, the second death. And that He would enable you to realize that you need to receive Jesus Christ. And that He would enable you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're going to stand and sing in closing. This church invites you to come if the Lord is dealing with you in your way this morning.